This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode 108 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John, and you're no longer, what was it, Swedish?
I don't know.
Yeah, you were something.
Well, this is the first time in weeks where we're recording this show where we're both sitting upright.
Yes, upright.
Woo! Yes, so and I go back to work at the end of the week.
Yes. Yeah. Are you excited?
No, it's work.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited to have a change of pace, to not be sitting at home, to... Mm.
It does wear on you after a while.
It's still work.
Yeah.
Anywho. So I haven't watched a ton.
Me either.
Because I have watched a ton of Scrubs.
Mine was just doing stuff, being busy. God of War came out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a video game for those who don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched 2.5 seasons of Scrubs.
Oh, you're doing pretty good.
Season 3, episode 15. I just watched when Ben died, Brendan Fraser's character. Yeah, I just went through those two episodes.
Where do you think you are?
Yeah, on my kid's birthday.
Yeah.
That's a sad one.
Yeah.
A lot of sadness in that.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, there's some great comedy.
Yep.
Some great sadness.
Yeah, because that was with the, was that the one with the shower shorts? They had the little wallet on the spring.
The shower wallet, yeah.
Ah, for the man who has nothing to hide, but still wants to.
Yeah, and there's also, like, I've also noticed, and I'm watching this all on Hulu, by the way.
Yeah.
And I've noticed some song changes where, like, I watch, I'm like, that definitely was not the song playing when I saw it the first time, or even on reruns, or on my DVDs. But that, it's funny, it's for minor songs. It's not for, like, they still have U2 on there. I mean, any major song is still there.
Yeah.
But I've just noticed that for some weird minor songs, which is kind of weird. Maybe I noticed that.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I've noticed this in the past watching Scrubs, like previously. I call it storylines of convenience.
Mm-hmm.
But you were just calling it...
Continuity errors.
Yeah. What would you mean by that?
Well, I saw one this morning on Comedy Central where it was way later in the, like... I think it was the last season, actually. It was
season 9?
Almost the – no. Before we got into the dark times of the medical school. It was right before JD's last day at Sacred Heart. It was the Wiener cousin thing, you know, when he was talking to Sean and he's like, you know, we've both had sex with the same women. So that makes us Wiener cousins, you know, and that's a bond that's unbreakable. It's tighter than family. And he pointed over to Dr. Beardface and
Beard Fassay.
Yes. And Seymour. Oh, come on, Seymour. Your beard's ridiculous. And Snoop Dogg resident.
Yeah.
And were doing it.
He just got introduced as Snoop Dogg intern in season 3.
Oh, yes.
I like how the extras they've developed gimmicks and names and their own little characters over the run.
Well, they were linked up, and he looked over at them, and he goes, you know, Nurse Roberts, both of them, one night, God rest her soul. And I was like, she was a woman of Jesus. Like, she didn't even like Elliot and JD hooking up outside of wedlock.
She was with Mr. Roberts.
Yeah, she was happily married. And I know they always joked around about, like, Kelso and her, but no.
Yeah.
No, Beard Fassay and Snoop Dogg. Like, if it had been Beard Fassay and Mickhead,
maybe. Yeah. My storylines of convenience is like the episode, like my lab coat or whatever it is. It is someone where DJ gets a white lab jacket.
JD.
What did I say?
DJ.
Oh, that's funny. Where JD gets a white lab coat and he's all excited about it because it makes him look like a doctor.
Right.
And so then the janitor wears one because it makes him, like, you know.
Dr. Yanni Tor.
And he has janitor written on his and blah, 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 because the janitor always wants to take DJ, geez, I'm grow, JD down a peg. In this story, Dr. Cox doesn't wear one, even though he wears one in every single other episode in the entire run.
Uh-huh.
But in this episode, he doesn't. And he makes fun of JD for it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Those are what I call storylines of convenience. Yeah. Also, like any episode where they do a storyline where JD and Turk have a hard time talking or their emotions between each other.
Yeah.
But yet every other episode, especially near the end of the run, they're basically, you know, they're girls. Practically married.
Yeah.
You know, yep. So it's just, so I think that's funny.
Yes. Yes.
You know, we're like, they have the episodes where they just can't talk because they're guys. But then every other episode, except, you know, a half dozen.
They had that one. The next episode that I was watching this morning was, you know, where Elliot and Carla tricked them into the on-call room so that they could sit there and talk about their feelings.
Yes.
And you're like, why? They always talk about their
feelings. They hug and like embrace aggressively in mm-hmm. public.
Yes.
All the time.
Yep. But now they need to have an episode.
They have the musical episode where they have the song called Guy Love, which is an amazing.
It's Guy Love. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was our ringtone for a while.
It really was. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a great show, though.
Yeah.
It's a great show. Fun to rewatch.
Yes.
Fun to rewatch. But that's not new stuff.
No.
And I'm just going to add this. I have yet to watch the last 5 episodes of Lost in Space.
I still haven't started it yet. I haven't had a chance.
I haven't.
Because I want to dedicate – like I can put on some of my shows like Lucifer or iZombie. I put them on while I'm doing something else and I'll watch them and absorb them. But I don't have to sit there and stare at them. Something like Lost in Space, I want to sit there and take it all in because I want to make sure that I'm able to talk about it later and really get what's going on. I look forward to it basically.
It's not as bad as Luke Cage when it comes to trying to force myself to finish watching it.
Okay.
It's pretty close.
Really?
The turn it took, and maybe it has cleared itself up, but like it took such a downward turn for me from episode 3 to 4 to 5 that it just made me go, ugh.
Gotcha. I'm looking forward to checking it out as I was last week as well. I know people are like, oh, you said you were looking forward to it. I know, but yeah, I'll check it out.
Anyhow, Timelessen?
I did.
Okay. It's the JFK episode.
Yeah. And it really was weak.
Yeah. It takes place. Basically, the show opens in wrestling. They call it jump starting the bell. But it's because you attack the guy before the bell rings. And essentially, that's kind of what happened to Timeless. It pops in and you see JFK as a kid. And all of a sudden, someone's trying. His teacher's going to shoot him.
Kids like
a teenager,
16, 17, 18. Yeah.
Flynn kicks the door in, and there's a gunfight. And then the next thing you know, the mothership, the lifeboat's back, and it's Rufus and
Wyatt
and a knocked out JFK Jr. JFK.
Yeah.
Coming out of the lifeboat, and they left Flynn behind.
Right. Well, we got separated. Yeah. We'll go back for him.
Yeah, because there's only 3 seats.
Right.
And so the whole story takes place in current times.
Yes. And it's bothersome because, A, it's the fish out of water story because he somehow manages to escape the entire bunker.
Oh, my God, yeah. Like, no one can escape, but JFK's been there 5 minutes, and he's like, I'll just crawl through this duct.
Yeah. And so we get the fish out of water story, you know, where he goes into the convenience store and he's asking what day it is and what year, and he can't believe it. And so some girl picks him up because she thinks she's cute. And we're all going out to Palo Alto. Well, that's in California. Yeah, you're in California. Oh, my God. I think I've been kidnapped. And the biggest problem that I had, and they actually addressed it in the issue, which is good because they knew that we'd all have a problem with it, is that they were trying to find him, and Rufus was like, oh, how are we ever going to find him? And Gia's like, of course we're going to find him because we still know about him.
Yeah.
We still know that.
Yes. We know that he's present. History hasn't changed. He's still president. We know all about him.
So if we didn't find him and he died, then he never would have become president. But we're in the present, so none of us would have known. It's that whole thing when the mother, when the lifeboat goes back, and then they come, and they're like, oh, we saved this. And people are like, really? We didn't even know about that because we're in here, and time changed around us.
Yeah. The other issue I hated was the storyline of Wyatt's wife, who's now alive. And, of course, Wyatt and Lucy.
Now a member of the team, apparently.
Apparently. Wyatt and Lucy started a relationship. So we had that awkwardness of, well, ex and current, but not really. It's kind of current and current.
Yeah.
Now, technically, kind of like talking to each other. And then, of course, they have to go find JFK. So Wyatt and Lucy are going to go look. But Lucy's been hurt. She got stabbed.
Yeah.
In Salem times. And so she can't do anything. And then, sorry, hiccups. And so Jesse's going to go with Wyatt. But she can't go. It's national security. But Wyatt's like, oh, maybe she can go because, you know, I got to prove to her that I'm different.
Well, at the same time, she points out, she's like, Lucy's a teacher.
Yeah.
And you let her go on these missions.
Right. But it's a little different.
It
you
is.
Know? It's established. They've established themselves.
So we've got this giant state of California where he could be anywhere. So, you know, let's do the convenient thing and go to the convenience store where, you know, we're sure he turned up, that one convenience store. And the guy is finally convinced that, you know, oh, you must be legitimate. And he really is off his meds. So I'll tell you, some kids picked him up. Kids, you know, teenager behind the counter says some kids picked him up and they were heading to Palo Alto. Oh, okay. You know what? Let's go to a hospital.
They were driving a red. Well, JFK had hospital issues.
Yes, that's the convenience thing.
They were tracking him on the traffic cameras, and they lost sight of him in this area. And then these are the options they have to go to.
Oh, it's a hospital. It's going to be a hospital because, you know. And then, of course, you know, on the other end of the team, the Rittenhouse guys, they're like, I'm betting he had a lot of health issues, so he's probably going to a hospital. Well, there's tons of hospitals out there. Let's canvass them all, and we'll take our main character, Assassin
ridiculous.
Lady, and have her show up before the team.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that was absurd.
That was completely absurd.
And then, you know, Jesse gets to see how Lucy and Wyatt work so well together, and then she gets to see how Wyatt looks at her.
The look in the
eye. Yeah, and so she's just going to, like, I'm just going to go home. I'll catch a cab and go home. Because
you obviously have something.
You know, she's been exposed to national security measures. We're just going to take a cab and go
home. Right, exactly.
Yeah, but they're going to let her go on a mission.
And she's like, you know what? I know that in my reality, we were divorced, and he's a drunk and a loser.
I wanted a divorce.
Yes. And in your reality, I'm not even around, so no harm, no foul. But
yeah,
then, of course,
she handled that way too well.
Yeah, but then Lucy's just like, whoa. Yeah. He tried to bring you back from the dead like 30 times.
Yeah.
And he's really been trying. And he sent you a postcard. She's like, Back to the Future style? Yeah.
Western Union.
Yep.
Oh, don't forget, in the hospital, you have a head Rittenhouse assassin lady. He's got a knife to Lucy's neck and makes a comment
Didn't
of like
do anything.
Well, makes the who and that's who she's supposed to be killing.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally. She wants to kill this woman more than anything.
Yeah.
She's got the knife to her neck. It's pressed right in there. Yeah. Just
and then run away.
Right.
Because you're gonna let her go and run away. So
you know as soon as you push it in there and she starts bleeding out, they're gonna grab her and not come after you. So
right.
run.
Right. So she makes the comment of though, oh well, I guess you don't care about Lucy anymore now that your wife's back.
Yeah.
So obviously she's the one that went and changed things so his wife was still alive.
Oh, and let's not forget she's also apparently a ninja.
Yeah.
Because that fight between her and Wyatt, like she slams the door on his gun hand and then she's like flipping over the bed and stabbing. And
then he hit her in the face like four times with the metal pole from the IV stand.
Yeah.
And then Lucy comes in and just freaking cold cocks her with the metal tray.
Right.
And she's still conscious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I made the comments to my wife about that.
Yeah.
We both agreed that this is kind of our least favorite episode because it's a show's called Timeless but traveling in time. Why are we in current times?
Exactly.
And, you know, there was a couple funny moments as far as Lucy, like, wait, if you find him, I'll just call you on your phone because we can actually use our cell phones.
Right, because we never get to do that.
Yeah, so that was kind of funny. And then there was the one kind of sad moment where, like, it made us stop and go, Jesus, yeah, imagine if that happened. Or, if the, you know, like, where he's looking at Wikipedia, basically, JFK, and he's finding about his brother dying, his sister dying, his other brother dying, his own death, all his family, the family curse, I mean, on and on and on. Like,
but, hey, you head back there and have a good life.
Yeah, and he's got to absorb all that. And he's like, I understand, you know, that sometimes you can't change things. And then, because the whole thing between Rufus and his girlfriend has been talking about fate and changing fate.
Right.
And Rufus doesn't believe in anything and blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, well, maybe that's not your fate. Don't go to Dallas on November, blah, 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 when you get assassinated. Okay, so they take him back. They come back with Flynn. Flynn's like, next time you stay behind. And he storms off. And
best way to get him out of the episode.
Exactly. And then Rufus goes, so is Kennedy still alive? Oh, so is Kennedy? Did Kennedy get elected to a second term? Da 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 da. No, he got assassinated 2 years into his first term. I told him not to go to Dallas. We got assassinated in Austin. So it proves to Rufus that there is that your fate is your fate.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is what Gia was trying to tell him.
Exactly. Because like Gia was saying, like the guy that she saw Rufus kill still ended up dying.
Yeah.
So maybe he was fated to die no matter what.
Right.
And even though you tried to change it, it didn't work.
Right.
And then also I made the comment to my wife of, like, when he told them, don't go to, you know, and I guess they just don't give a shit about conserving history anymore.
Well, this was also a huge problem because, like you said, you know, here they're taking not just some kid, but they're taking somebody who is going to be supremely influential on the historical timeline.
Yes.
like somebody who has a major place in history around the world.
Yes.
And giving him all this future knowledge. First off, that things like cell phones are coming and right down the road. And secondly, hey, here, we're going to line up and show you exactly when and where each one of your siblings dies.
Yeah.
So you have future knowledge of that. You could prevent it if you wanted to. Then he's like, oh, I guess I can't. You literally know when and where they're going to die. You could try to prevent all of them.
Right.
They're like, oh, but don't try to. Just try to save yourself by not going here because that's when you die. That's really fucking with history.
It's a lot to put on a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, yeah. However old he was.
Yeah. And we got that one cool shot of the half dollar where she's like, look, it's you. And he's like, oh that's me. And then, you know, he runs out of the room.
And it changes to Nixon.
This was another problem that I had. Okay. He's trying to escape these people. You know, Wyatt, Lucy, et cetera. Yeah. He sees Wyatt come in. He's like, I just want to go home. And Wyatt's like, great, we can take you home. So he blows past him, runs out, surrounded by people.
Yeah.
People everywhere. And he sees the one assassin lady. And he goes, lady, you got to help me.
Yeah.
Why?
Maybe because she's the one adult.
That's lame. If that's the case, I thought the same thing, but it's still lame.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb.
But I still love Timeless.
Yes.
This was just their weakest
episode. This was definitely a weak sauce episode. It's not going to stop you from watching it again.
Oh, no. Any means, no.
But definitely a weak
I'm
sauce
I'm looking forward episode. To it getting back to good.
Yes. So Supergirl was back. I didn't watch it. When I said, how was it? Should I squeeze it in? And you're like, eh. I was like, okay.
It was eh. I'll basically lay it out for you. And this sucked, but Wynn's father, you know, the toy man, dies off screen. You know, they're all doing karaoke in the beginning, and Wynn gets up on stage and looks over, and there's a news report that he was killed in prison. So they go out to the funeral, and his casket's being lowered in, and it explodes. Because Wynn's mother is there, too. And she, you know, abandoned them 20 years ago or something like that. And so he doesn't like her, doesn't want her around. Oh, man, you know, you haven't been around for me. And so this whole time she's like, you know, I want to be there for you and I want to be around. She basically says that dad told her, oh, she relates this story to him about how they were going to Disney World. He's like, yeah, I remember the last time I saw you, we were heading to Disney World. And you drove in the middle of the night because, you know, you wanted to get there first. And then you turned around and took me back home. And she's like, yeah, you were young, so you don't understand. We were headed to a battered women's shelter. She's like, I was trying to escape your father, and he ran us off the road. And we were laying in a ditch, and you had a concussion. Then he dragged me out of the car and started beating me and told me that he'd kill me if I ever came near you again. And he took you back. She's like, so I needed to escape because he basically said, I'll kill you. Whoa, that got dark. But so it turns out that while he was in prison, there was a janitor lady there and she became his protege. So now she suddenly has these miraculous abilities to create flying monkeys and, you know, a Supergirl packaging that makes her look like an action figure that seals her in and her heat vision won't get through or anything. And a giant robotic T-Rex and these little wind-up tanks that have flamethrowers on them. Very, very unbelievable.
It's not a really good back from hiatus episode.
No, it was not believable at all. And we didn't get a lot of the story. Like, there was no rain. We saw Rain at the very end because James keeps calling Lena and saying, you know, hey, it's me again. I know you're busy, but give me a call. And so finally at the end of the episode is the PS. She's like, oh, I finally got all your messages. Sorry. We've been working really hard here at LexCorp. And she's walking. And you see that she's got a sterilized cell and Rain is in there laying on a hospital bed. So she's got her and she's doing something to her. But the other thing was that
I can't remember. Does Rain – does Lana know that Rain, who Rain is?
I don't remember.
Okay.
John Jones's father has started basically with Alzheimer's, but the Martians have their own name for it. Basically, his brain is getting away from him and he forgets things. And, you know, he doesn't want to tell John, and Alex figures it out because she saw it happen in her family. And she's like, you got to tell him. And he's like, don't you fucking, like, he threatens her.
Yeah.
And so we've got that going on as well. So it was a parenting kind of thing. You know?
It's exciting then.
Yeah. Okay. I'm excited for next week, see what happens with Rain. Oh, this was a big thing, though. Mon-El told Kara that it turns out that Brainy and his wife there had been planning this all along because the third, I want to call them horsemen, but the third one, Pestilence, later on, like 1,000 years from now, evolves into Blight, which is who destroyed that planet that they were trying to save, their whole mission in the first place.
Yeah.
So they figured if they came back to this time period and destroyed Pestilence now,
yeah,
she'll never turn into Blight, and they won't have to.
They didn't tell Mon-El this?
No, they didn't tell Mon-El this.
Why wouldn't they tell Mon-El the plan?
Because they were worried that he wouldn't want to go back to this time period where Kara is with all the problems that
so they
had.
Couldn't have come back like 50 years from now?
Or maybe when she was a baby. Kill her when she's a baby?
Yeah, jeez.
So.
You don't want to kill babies.
Right.
Kill them when they're adults.
But so those are the things that you'll need to know going into the next one. If you,
I mean, I'm
going to
watch this episode right. Probably.
Maybe. If you don't, you're updated now. By the way, I should mention to everybody that it is Monday morning. Westworld premiered last night.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't
watch it yet.
Yeah,
watch
did it not watch it. It will be like a week behind. That way we can talk about it fully without being spoilered, you know. Oh, hey, the next day, by the way.
Yeah. Know. Yeah, that'd be kind of a jerk move.
Yeah.
So that's our gift.
They did have a nice little HBO marathon of it yesterday, though.
Nice. Lethal Weapon?
Yep.
I'm going to jump to Lethal Weapon for some reason.
Leo gets
married. Yeah, yeah.
I like it too because Leo gets.
And then the sign that said Tina and Leo gets married or whatever it was. Yeah. It was a good episode.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the relationship issues.
Yeah.
Molly's, I guess technically, Riggs and Molly's friend, Molly's ex-husband or boyfriend, whatever. Molly's baby daddy.
Riggs' best friend
who shot Riggs' dad.
Yeah.
Saved him. Shows back up. Even though he's not supposed to be around.
Yeah, and he doesn't really show up as in like, oh, I'm going to show up.
Right.
He showed up at the house.
Yes. Riggs saw something suspicious and then put someone on because of what happened in the past.
Yep.
And his dad and this and that.
You see somebody in a Thunderbird and you're like, whoa, that person is suspicious.
Well, the way the car sped off, he saw it driving around the block twice.
Plus, it's a car. I mean, plus, look at
that car. It's a very standoutish car.
Yep.
And then it turns out it's stolen. So he put a tail on Molly, an officer, to keep an eye on her. And then...
Did you feel like they kind of jumped into those two being back together?
They really did. We went from them, like, not being together to, boom, they're in love.
Yeah, because last time we saw them, like, she was mad at him and he ruined her food truck thing. And
I had to look it up to see if I missed an episode.
Right, because now suddenly he's running around the house playing Nerf guns with her kid.
Yeah.
And part of the family again, and you're like... Yeah,
it's almost like they aired something out of order.
Right.
It was kind of weird. But long and the short of it, turns out Steve or whatever is back in town, and he's not there to see his son for his birthday. He's there to do a job.
Right.
To rob a private poker game.
Because that's what he does. He's a robber.
And, of course, he gets caught by Riggs, and now he goes to jail, and he tells Steve that it's going to work out between Molly and I think, because I love her, man, and I think blah, blah, blah. And at the end, they're all happy laughing together. And then on the Murtaugh side of thing, he finds a pregnancy test in his trash can. So, of course, he just assumes his wife is pregnant and tells everyone or tells his boss.
Right.
And then...
Because that worked out really well last time when he found the joints and the cookie container.
Exactly. It's the same. Basically, it's the same scenario.
It's the exact same
So he
scenario.
Blames his wife. It's not her. They both think it's their daughter. It's not her.
Because, you know, she conveniently walks in and goes, oh, I've been sick all day. I'm going to skip dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. So they don't think it's her. And then, kind of comically at the end, his neighbor comes over and he's like, here, my wife came back. Oh, really? Yeah. She went on this singles cruise and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, ever since then, it's been great between us. So but there's certain things she doesn't want in the house. So here's some alcohol and coffee.
Yeah.
So wait a second. Your wife came back from a singles cruise and now she doesn't really feel good and she doesn't want caffeine or liquor. He's like, or soft cheeses and eat
sushi
and da da da. He's like, huh. Sounds like your wife's pregnant. Oh, no. That's impossible. I had a vasectomy 2 years ago. Huh. Here, you keep this alcohol. You may want this. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, that was the only funny part of that whole ridiculousness.
So, but, I still like the show.
Oh, yeah.
It's still enjoyable.
It was still a weak episode, but.
Yeah. The Flash.
Flash.
So I watched it.
Savior of the Universe.
They just have no qualms killing people this season.
No, and it's not even, you don't even get to care about the deaths because it's just happening like rapid fire.
Yeah, you meet a character and they're getting killed. It's basically the 12 red shirts on the bus.
pretty much. That's
what it's come down to.
Yeah.
Except for Ralph. All the other characters maybe get established shortly and then they're killed.
And Ralph I really liked.
I did too, yeah.
I'm really hoping that something's going to happen to undo that, because I'd like to see him stick around.
Me too. But basically, DeVoe's now absorbed the powers of all 12 people from the bus, so now he's like a superhuman. And because of Ralph's ability to change his shape, he can now look like himself again. So his wife will stay in love with him.
And his body will no longer succumb to the ALS because it's constantly reorganizing itself.
Exactly.
You would think he would have wanted to take Barry's powers because, you know, the faster metabolism body type thing.
No, it doesn't need him. Or maybe he can't because they weren't created on the bus or maybe. Some shit. They've made DeVoe, over several episodes, an insurmountable character, which they will somehow figure out and defeat easily, I feel like.
Yeah, in this one, Harry had come up with a tuning fork
that
the sonic waves would hurt him.
Yeah.
Like they found out with the country singer girl.
Yeah, who, by the way, I hated her over-the-top thick southern accent.
Yep.
So I'm so glad that her body has been cast to the side.
Right.
And now that now DeVoe inhabits Dibny, because I just couldn't stand her accent.
Yeah. I like how the chair went from, or we went from needing the chair with its tentacles to like grab somebody by the head and like transfer essence. Now he just touches them.
Yeah.
He's like, oh no, look, I can body jump from this. So we have the tuning fork and Ralph's all like, we need to kill him. When you killed it. No, you can't kill. Killing's bad.
Yeah. Well, that's what establishes a good guy from a bad guy, is the good guys with our powers. And Barry even says it, with our powers, there's always another way. Always another way. And so that's what makes them good.
But Ralph's like, no, I want him dead because he's coming for me. He's not coming for you. He's coming for me.
There's always someone that has to make the hard decisions. Like Yo-Yo.
Right. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
And then they meet the last bus meta, the reason that they haven't been able to find him is because he folds into pocket dimensions.
Yes.
And he's an obnoxious hippie.
He's a crystal hunter.
Yeah, dude. Whoa, that's great. So he folds into pocket dimensions. And they're like, well, wait, we could use him to fold into the pocket dimension, which is DeVoe's lair.
Yeah.
And so they do that, but it was a trap because as they did that, DeVoe came over to their place.
Instantaneously.
Yeah.
Again, DeVoe knowing everything, it's
he doesn't have the power to predict the future. He's just super smart.
Okay, so they referred to in Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
A lot of people refer to Rey, the term was a Betty Sue.
Mary Sue.
Mary Sue. No, I thought it was a Betty Sue. No, whatever. A Mary Sue. So who can do everything you need them to do.
Yeah.
DeVoe is that tenfold.
Yeah.
Like, it's obnoxious.
Like, they said, oh, we're going to get away from a speedster villain this time. We're going to have somebody who thinks.
Yeah.
Well, great.
Yeah.
Except his thinking thing is to predict the future, apparently.
Yeah.
Know everything that's going to happen in the future and absorb all these other powers. So that, well, he's not a speedster, but he's got 12 other meta powers.
And literally, he is the most – they have made him the most insurmountable villain they've ever made.
Yeah.
And the simple fact is, he could literally wave his hand and kill all of Team Flash, but yet doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's got telekinetic powers.
Right.
He's got the whole shrinking and growing.
Yeah.
He even pointed out that the girl with the mass displacement, he's like, she didn't even realize, you know, I made you the weight of like a bus or something like that. You know, your gravitational pull is now the same as a bus. So you're trapped just laying there on the ground. And he can do pretty much anything. He can read minds.
Yeah.
He can project sonic stuff. He has luck. You know, he has the power of luck and to suck the luck out of everybody around him.
It's absurd.
It is absurd. It's gotten to the point where this is not absurd as in Thanos getting the Infinity Stones on the gauntlet and being able to wipe out half the universe. That's great.
Yeah.
This is because that's going to take an entire universe to come together and stop him.
Right.
This is... Yeah, we decided to have a enemy who really thinks hard, but we couldn't do anything else with that.
Yeah.
There's a lot they could have done with that.
Yeah.
A guy who thinks and a woman who can build.
And then you have Harry, who is plugging dark matter into his helmet, and he overdid it, and now he's clearly have some brain damage.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe is worried that he's an addict.
Yep.
Apparently, once again, also, DeVoe's wife is a ninja.
Yep.
Because, you know, she fights Iris with ninja swords.
Yeah. And then Iris does the, I'm going to let you stab me through my shoulder.
Yep.
That blade's not going to sever any tendons or anything important.
No.
It's just going to go clean through.
That's right.
And be cool. And
so they can reach over and hit the thing and warp you out.
Smash your face into your chair and then push the button so you guys will swap. And I can bring my friends back.
Yeah.
And then Dibny does the right thing, handcuffing DeVoe and capturing him instead of killing him when he had the opportunity to kill him.
Right.
However, I guess didn't activate the cuffs correctly.
Yeah. When you cuff a meta, you should always look at the color on the cuffs. And then he just drops them off and puts his hand on Dibny's head. And
blows everyone away and becomes Dibny.
Because again, he has the telekinetic powers, the sonic powers.
Yeah. And then
power over all technology, let's not forget.
And then Barry's all sad and has to go clean out Dibny's office.
Yeah. Yeah, because Dibny's dead.
Yeah.
But I don't think he really will be.
And then, of course, the PS is, yeah, we have Team Flash right where we want them.
So, yeah, he really is. Insurmountable is a good word. They built him up to be too much. It's not like Savitar where it's like, oh, he's too fast. You can work around that. He literally has 12 other meta's powers.
And
now with Ralph's, he can't be destructed except for that acid.
Right.
You know? But he can't be stopped.
Right. They've made it so that Barry has no choice but to kill.
Or to go back in time.
Or undo this whole thing. Exactly. So we'll have to see what they
undo him getting out of the Speed Force. Because basically that's what he would have to do.
Right.
He'd have to go back and stop them from releasing him from the Speed Force.
Fair enough.
So he never creates the bus metas, so that DeVoe's plan never goes through, or something like that. It's going to have to be a time travel thing, because they're not going to want to lose Ralph or something.
But then Ralph will never get his powers.
That's true.
Oh.
But then he'd be happy at least. He'd still be Ralph. He'd still be alive.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay. L.A. to Vegas.
Dinner party.
It was a good episode.
Yeah.
Basically, Ronnie to show off to her new boyfriend and to say, hey, like, this is my life together. This is me outside of work. She's going to have a dinner party. And at Bernard's apartment, he okays it somehow.
Strangely.
Yeah. And, of course, everyone they invite is they invite Nicole and Artem.
Well, they don't really want to invite them.
But they don't have any choices.
Because, like, Ronnie's two friends couldn't make it.
Yeah. Their excuse was something absurd. And she's always like, well, I use the same thing to get out of their kid's stuff. So they end up inviting the three passengers, basically.
From the plane, yeah.
Yeah. And then Captain Jack and Nicole's mom. Sorry, Captain Dave and Nicole's mom.
Because they're dating.
Because they're dating now, yeah. And, of course, she's distracted the whole time because she's like the assistant mayor. It's absurd.
Yeah, but she's constantly taking phone calls or the photo op. He's like, we're going to take our first selfie together. And she's like, oh, let's get Nicole in here. She plays really well with the voters.
Oh, let's get Bernard in here because he's a black gay man, basically. Right. Yeah,
he touches all the bases.
Yeah, and then he's basically pushed out of the photo.
Yeah.
But it ends up, and then Ronnie goes to try. What's the British guy's name? I can't think of it. It's not Dylan.
Yeah. Colin.
Colin. He shows up with a date who turns out to be his Uber driver.
She had some of the best interactions. Small bottle of water?
Yeah. The whole episode, she's basically like being an Uber driver.
Yeah.
And Ronnie. And
would you like me to turn up some music?
Yeah. I have to go to the bathroom. Which way would you like me to go?
Yeah.
Or like,
should I adjust the temperature in here? Are you feeling comfortable? It's not even her place, but.
The whole time, she's acting like she's, driving mode. And
that's what they say to him.
That tip and that good rating. And they say that to him. And he's like, ah. And then, of course, when they leave, he's like, wait a second. Am I getting in the front seat or the back seat? Because if I'm getting in the front seat, that means we were on a date. If I'm getting in the back seat, that means this was just a fare for you.
Right.
Oh, no. You're getting in the front seat. I turned it off as soon as you asked me to come in for dinner. So this is a date. Oh, great. Do you want to go back to my place now or something?
Yeah. And then Dave gets in because he calls for an Uber.
And he gets in and Colin's like, she missed a lot of fares tonight. I don't care. Take me to the nearest high school so I can lay on the 50-yard line and yell at them.
I think one of the best parts of this whole episode was when Bernard pulled up a stool because he wanted to watch Ronnie's expression once he realized the blue apron isn't pre-cooked.
Yeah.
She's like, it's a whole meal right in a box. And he goes,
just heat it up.
He goes, wait a minute. You didn't cook this? She goes, no, it's already. He goes, hold on a second. He like pulls over the stool, pours some wine. He's like, go.
And then she finds out she has to cook the meal. And Bernard's like, why don't you ask your chef boyfriend out there to give you a hand? No, he has to see that my life's together. So they both put on an apron. Ronnie and Bernard, and they start trying to cook this meal, and they're dealing with all the I almost said passengers, all the guests, and all their wants and their issues they're having, and yep. Dolly can't get the Wi-Fi to work, and on and on and on and on. And then Ronnie's like, "Stop! Oh my God, this is work."
Yeah,
no, she goes, "We'll turn this flight around or something." Yeah. Oh my God, this is what it is. I'm at work.
Yep.
Bernard and I are trying to taking care of all you and your petty needs. And we're trying to reel in Captain Dave and da 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 da. It was hilarious.
It was.
She was at work
yep.
at the apartment. And I think, doesn't the boyfriend ask her to move to LA with him?
Yeah.
Vegas.
Vegas.
Move to Vegas
yeah.
with him, yeah.
Yeah. So exactly. You should move into Vegas with me.
It was a good episode.
Yeah.
It was funny. I laughed.
Which Come is on. Still weird. Like, after the dates that they've had, which are yeah. not really dates, that he's still like, you should move in with me.
Yeah, that does seem weird.
You can tell she does not have her life together.
No. No, she's a shambled mess.
Yes.
Yeah. But funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Superstore this week.
Oh, my God.
Superstore this was hilarious.
I loved. This was a great episode. Gender reveal.
Yes. Which they're trying to do some, like, was it? I like how Dina's there, and they're doing the... showing the ultrasound, and she could give two shits about what's on it at all.
Until
yeah.
she sees the actual, like, face. Then yes. she's like, that's inside me?
When they do the, you want to see it in 4D? Sure. And then she goes, that yeah. is the reaction when you see those 4D ultrasounds. It's not cute.
Right.
It
is a small parasite. She's like, he's in there peeing and pooping and just, like, throwing up and
yeah.
all inside of me.
Yeah. So she, and then she starts watching, like, she talks to, like, she goes, hey, are you pregnant or are you just fat?
Yeah.
I'm pregnant. Okay, well, this is my first. And she starts talking to pregnant women about their experiences giving birth. None of them have a good story.
No, they're all breech births, C-sections, scars.
Horrible, horrible.
Ripping and the tearing.
Tearing, bleeding, 40 hours of labor, I mean, on and on and on. And then she's watching, like, horrible animal births or something.
Yeah.
And she's just psyching herself up. And she's like, we need to get this baby out of me.
Yep.
Now, like, this baby needs to come out now.
Yep.
And it's hilarious. And then, like, Amy makes the comment of, like, I thought I was, one of my greatest things ever was being pregnant, and I loved it, and I missed the feeling of it, and on. And she goes, and, in fact, recently I actually thought I was pregnant again because I've put on a little bit of weight, and I've been feeling this and that, but, I saw those two clouds, and I knew it was all set. Wait a second, you took a Cloud 9 birth pregnancy test? Didn't you get the memo? They recalled those for all the misdiagnoses.
False negatives. Yeah, false negatives. Yeah, false negatives.
And so the next scene is Amy sitting there, and there's four pregnancy tests, different ones on the table, and they all show positive.
Yep.
And Dina's like, it's going to be okay. No, it's not going to be okay.
I thought you said it was the best time ever.
Clearly, I was lying. So now Amy finds out she's pregnant.
I loved it when Amy said at one point, when she was talking about this, she's like, oh, yeah, I love being pregnant. She goes, I've actually thought about having another baby. And Cheyenne's like, oh, because your daughter's such a dud. She's like, what? No, nothing. No, she's the greatest. Yeah.
When Amy found out she was pregnant, I initially thought it was going to be Jonah's kid somehow they were going to reveal.
But they've never, like, they had that one kiss.
Well, we don't know what happened after that
hurricane, right.
tornado, whatever it was.
Right.
But it's her exes.
Or so she says.
She says it's her exes.
Yeah, because she has the whole story about how he came over to pick up some of his stuff, and they got to reminiscing because he'd broken up with the girl that he was dating.
Yeah.
And they had some wine, and the next thing you know,
and one last time.
Yeah.
So
then the B story, the other story, I can't even call it a B story, was, after showing the 4D ultrasound, they're like, so do you know the gender? And he's like, Glenn's like, oh, we've got the envelope right here. And he was going to open it up and announce it. And they're like, no, you have to do a big gender reveal party. So they're doing, they set everybody up, and, like, Sandra's supposed to make a melon baby, and she has no idea what it is. But she's like, oh, yeah, I'll do it.
Put, like, googly eyes on watermelon.
And a diaper.
And a diaper, yeah.
But then they have, like, the pinata. So wait a minute. So people are going to take a stick and beat this baby to death, and stuff's going to come pouring out of it that they're supposed to eat. Yeah, it'll be fun. Okay, you go right ahead.
Yeah, and they give
Garrett the
envelope that has the baby's gender in it, and he loses it.
Yep.
And they can't find it. And so that's hilarious.
So they're digging through the garbage. He's got all the janitors digging through. Oh, that one janitor. He's like, oh, I found my retainer. Yeah. And he, like, sticks it right in his mouth. And then he goes,
it doesn't fit. My teeth shifted. She tries to jam it in there. Oh, that was disgusting.
Yeah.
Basically Garrett loses it. And when they cut the cake, it's just vanilla inside.
Yeah. Oh, you're having a white baby.
Yeah.
And then, oh, Amy needs to get away.
Yeah.
I just need to leave here now, and her time card thing's not working. And Dina, to her credit, is like, all right, let's just go.
Yeah. But then comes back on the screen and goes, I just can't stand that you're not punched out.
She's like, I can't, yeah. And so she punches her out, and then they leave, and they're driving, and she's just – basically, Dina's like, so do you, where are we going? Are we going to the abortion clinic?
Yeah. Because I'll – and
then she's like – we'll do it. And, she's like, no, I don't want to get an abortion. Okay. Cancel route.
Yeah. On her phone. Yeah.
But and then the other – the C story, I guess, is Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
Jonah finds out that Jeff didn't really get a job at Target, and so like
– but he doesn't have any job right now.
And Mateo's trying to get Jeff to help him – I mean, get Jonah to help him make Jeff go get a job anywhere.
Right. He's like, I'll be the good cop, you be the bad cop, and you basically tell him that he needs to go get a job.
And so Jonah's a jerk to Jeff, making him feel bad, like he needs to get a job, and then Mateo will stand up for Jeff, and then Jonah's like, oh, okay, and then they come to Mateo going, what are you doing? It's called acting. No, no. Well, you're very convincing. And this happens several times.
Yep.
Which is kind of
But funny. Basically, Jeff is like having a midlife crisis.
Yes.
Where he wants to follow his bliss and figure out what he likes in life, like hiking the Appalachian Trail kind of thing. And yeah.
And then at the end of it, of course, Amy shows up because Jonah's cleaning up, and she kisses Jonah.
They both have a very passionate kiss.
Very passionate kiss. And then she goes, I'm pregnant.
And that's it.
Yeah, we cut to. Which, and so we didn't really get, they didn't really follow up the Jonah Kelly from the week before.
Nope.
Where Jonah left Kelly high and dry.
Nope.
So.
We saw Kelly a couple of times.
We did.
Planning the party and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah. So I'm wondering what's going to happen there.
It's a funny show.
Yep.
No Blacklist.
Nope. I didn't watch Arrow.
Oh, whatever.
Yep.
I'm behind on Taken, but I'm just going to say it's still really good.
Okay.
I really enjoy it.
I'm still really enjoying iZombie.
Nice.
Lucifer's actually been good this season.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean?
Like, more into the demons and mythology kind of stuff. It's been enjoyable. I've been enjoying it much more than I had in the past.
Is he still hampered by the police officer and can't use his powers?
You know, they don't really get into it that much.
He just doesn't use them.
Well, no, he uses them. You know, he had a guy in this episode where the guy tried to stab him and the blade just broke right off him. And he's like, oh, no, big mistake. And so they're not getting into that as much. It's been more about Kane and trying to find a way to get rid of his mark. And they finally did. Like, the mark is gone. We're not sure if it's because Chloe is in love with him or what. But if that's the case, you know, what is she really? Because now, like, when she's around Lucifer, he loses powers. When she loves Kane, his mark goes away, so he could die now. Like, what kind of celestial being is she? Because we do have that thing from last season where we find out that Amenadiel was sent down by God to get her parents together to conceive. So...
Yeah, it's the only other show I can think about I have to talk about this week is S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'll just say that The Crossing is still good. I don't know if you've started on that yet.
No, I never started that. I've actually
three episodes in now, and it is still good. They're giving us a bit more information about the future. I'm not going to go into it too much, but, you know, it's interesting. I don't want it to become one of those shows where Rude and I were talking about this, where they build it up like Lost, and you spend five seasons, and what are they doing, where are they going, and then you finally get the answer, and it's a little disappointing. I don't want them planning out like that.
Is it as good as Lost was?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
I don't want them planning out like that and then getting canceled after one season or two seasons, you know? So I'm a little trepidatious that way, but I'm still enjoying it. But yeah, otherwise, S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, actually, real quick, Roseanne.
Mm.
David came back in this episode.
I saw the commercial.
So it was cool seeing Johnny Galecki as David again.
The scummed out.
Yeah, he's got the facial hair beard, and he's been off building homes for poor people in third world countries and like a Habitat for Humanity type of thing.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of interesting.
Hearing his voice not nasally and Leonard Hofstadter-y.
Yes, yeah. Seeing him not as Leonard, but even really not as David.
Oh, okay.
He's actually like grown. He's a man now or whatever.
Yeah.
So. And they talk about Mark's death, David's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of talked about it a little bit a couple episodes ago with Becky, where she's like, well, you know, ever since Mark died, all I do is drink. You know, but they kind of make light of it a little bit.
Gotcha.
And this one, David's like, my brother died. I was sad. I didn't know what to do. I'm sorry. You know, I ran away, blah, 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 blah. They haven't said that's why Darlene's son is named David, and Darlene's son is named Mark. I would assume that's what I assumed as soon as I heard the kid's name was Mark, was that, you know, based on his dad. But we haven't even seen the kid the last two episodes, basically.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of, they've mentioned him, but we haven't seen him.
Hmm.
So I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. It's got renewed for another season. That's fun for me.
Good.
Well, I've given up on Alex Inc.
I keep deleting it off my DVR. I was waiting for you to be like, "Oh, it's a good show."
Yeah, but. No, I've watched the last couple episodes, and it just I'm done. I don't think I would be surprised if it made it a full season.
Gotcha.
Or if they I don't know how many episodes they have because it's a mid season replacement, so they may air all 12 episodes and just move on. But I don't know. It's not very good for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know how good Zach Braff can be watching Scrubs now.
Yep.
And then
nothing else.
Yeah. And watching this, and it's like, eh. Anyhow. S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Good episode.
Good episode.
Yeah.
Really ramping us up towards the finale.
I would say so. How many episodes do we have left? This was episode 18.
Yeah. I think probably like 4 or 5.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
Now you've got me curious. I'll check it out.
You check it out? Okay. I know, Hale's daughter.
Ruby,
wow. I mean, she really established herself as an obnoxious, immature, just...
Entitled little prick.
Yeah, through this whole episode, with her constantly threatening Fitz and Simmons about fixing the chamber, because she wants to become destroyer of worlds and blah, 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 and that was quite annoying. And of course, we get Talbot's on his mission. We don't really know what his mission is.
It never really comes to fruition.
Like, it's weird. Like, he's not there to kill anyone. Is he there to kidnap Robin? Maybe he's not. I don't know. It's kind of weird. Kind of weird. But essentially, he goes down. He chokes out Robin's mom. Doesn't kill her. Just puts her to sleep with a chokehold.
Right.
Takes Robin. Robin's like, I know. You're taking me. And then Coulson and Mac find him. Coulson basically talks him out of hurting Robin.
Because he says, you know, I remember.
Right.
And you don't want to do this. And
she runs off with Mac. And then now Talbot's going to kill himself. He's got his gun to the head, to his head or whatever.
Right.
Coulson, like, uses, you will comply. Point your weapon at me. And gets Talbot to take the gun away from his own head. And then Mac hits him with one of their knockout bullets, right. Basically.
Icers,
thank you. On the other side of things, we find that Yo-Yo
is still struggling
with her arms. And she's on a ship, and she's by herself. And that's about it.
Yeah, she can't use the arms. She's like, But she can type stuff into the computer.
And she can take her jacket off.
Yep. Yeah.
But she just kind of sits there in pain for a while. And then...
So this episode was called All Roads Lead, and it was episode 18. There's still 19, 20, 21, and 22. It's going to be option 2, the one who will save us all, the forces of gravity at the end. That's what the last episode is called. This season is the end.
Yeah, does that mean it's the end of the series?
They're writing it in case it is.
So anyhow.
So Yo-Yo.
Oh, no, we just established Yo-Yo's not doing anything. Oh, yeah. Being in pain.
Right.
Until the end.
And whining. You pierced me.
My arms hurt. No. I like how you did in Spanish. And then, what was it? Daisy and May, they head off.
So they can beat some guys up.
To Hal's secret base. They blow it open. They beat up a bunch of people. May goes ape shit on one guy specifically. Hale then surrenders. And she's like, yeah, we gotta work together because my daughter is with Strucker's son. And they got the gravitonium. And they're with your scientists at this other place. And we got to stop them. So they head over.
Because Creel basically told them that, you know, there's voices inside the gravitonium. And
yes.
He tells them who it is and that they're arguing with each other and they hate each other. And
Creel has turned himself into the same component as the brick wall and then starts bashing his head into the wall.
Yeah, because he wants it out of his head.
Yeah. And they don't really establish what they do with him other than, like, Coulson's like, we need to help him. I owe him that.
Yeah.
So then May and Daisy and Hale and everyone head off to the other facility, and they go in there and they put Ruby into the machine. Now here's the thing. All right. So they fix the machine, and Strucker's now got a hose and he's going to connect the two. At the same time, you know, Fitz and Simmons are acting odd, so Ruby's like, why are you acting strange? Well, we don't have any way to safely transport the gravitonium from there to the machine. Like, you know,
A hose won't do it. Oh, wait, there's a hose.
Well, they didn't even say a hose. They said, we have no way of doing it. There's no safe way. You can't blame us. It's not our fault. And, of course, Ruby's all angry. And then you just see, like, Strucker hook up literally, like, a hose from one to the other. And he flips a switch, and it just pulls itself in.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it's done.
And Ruby's like, ha-ha, it's done.
Yeah.
And Fitz and Simmons are like, did you see that? Yes, I did. Like, it blows their mind away.
Yeah. Seems like it would have been easier, instead of smashing the device, to just cut that hose. Oh, problem solved. There's no duct tape around here.
Yeah. So Ruby goes in the machine, of course, because, okay, she doesn't take her shuriken in with her.
No.
But she just leaves her whole head-to-toe leather outfit on.
Right. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Steve Rogers had to strip down to his skivvies.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she only gets about 8% infused.
8%.
And she is screaming bloody murder.
Get me out. Get me out. Get it out of me.
And then her mom shows up and with May and Daisy. Nobody else.
And hits the button.
And no, Fitz hit the button.
I thought her mom hit the button.
No, he's the one that hit the button to pause the thing. And then the machine opened up and she floats out and then collapses. And then everything's in her head.
Got a really cool view of her imploding Strucker's head, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was really cool. Just like...
He's like, I'm there for you. Don't you worry. And she picks her hand up and his head gets caved in.
Yep. Slowly and choppily. Yeah.
Choppily, yeah.
So then she's Supergirl and, you know, she can float and move people around and throw them against walls. She just crushed a guy's head by looking at him, but, you know, she's going to throw them against the wall, the ones that she really hates.
Right, right.
And you know, monologue for a while.
And it seems like the people inside her, inside the gravitonium, they can take her over now?
Yeah.
They couldn't do it to Creel, but they can do it to her. Must be that 8% infusion.
Mm, yep.
And then, you know, Hale's trying to talk her down.
Literally.
Yeah. And then finally, like, Fitz and Simmons and May take off, and they head out, and they run into Yo-Yo, and Yo-Yo's like, who's in there? And who's trying to stop them or whatever? It's like, it's Daisy. So then they don't stop Yo-Yo from heading in. Yo-Yo just heads in.
Like, see ya.
Yeah. And then Yo-Yo goes in and she's like, she's the one that took my arms.
Right.
And
prepare to die.
Basically. And then, you know, Hale's trying to talk Ruby down and she's attacking Daisy and Daisy's not fighting her. But Daisy's almost getting crushed to death by her because instead of just like, again, the Strucker was like, Now with Daisy, I guess she's making it last, you know, slowly crushing her, Damien Dark style.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you hear like chink, like a chink noise. And you look and then you see like a big red mark across Ruby's head. And then I thought her head was going to fall off.
I did too.
But it didn't. It just goes back and blood starts coming out.
It's ABC. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And then it cuts. I'm surprised they even showed that.
Right.
And then it cuts to Yo-Yo and she's got the shuriken blade in her hand.
Yep.
And she's laying there all in pain and shit. And Daisy's all mad and Hale's all upset. And then after Ruby dies, her body floats up and then something's emitted.
Yeah, some kind of light and it like shoots up into the sky. And
it looked like a blast wave as well came off.
Yep. So I see that as the gravitonium is loose.
Maybe. I don't know.
The entities inside of it?
Something's been expelled from her.
Yep.
And everyone, of course, gets knocked out, except, I guess, Hale wakes up first and escapes before anyone can see her.
Puts a bloody handprint on the wall so they know which way she went.
Right, right. May shows up, and, you know, Yo-Yo and Daisy are down, and we see that, you know, they've been down long enough that Ruby's had time to gush blood out of her throat because there's just a giant pool of blood underneath her.
Yep. Just so that we know she's definitely dead.
Right, right. And Hale's gone.
Yep.
And then Daisy makes the absurd statements of, she was coming around. No, she wasn't.
No, she was not.
No, she was not. She was not coming around.
And that was her on 8%.
Yeah.
You imagine her on like 12?
Or 20 or 50 or 100.
Yeah.
And then Yo-Yo's like, basically she's like, I did what had to be done. I saved the world.
Except she probably didn't.
No.
Because everything else that's happened so far has been what was supposed to happen. So maybe she released that shockwave and now the Earth's going to start ripping apart because the gravitonium's affecting its core, blah, 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 blah.
Who knows?
We got four more episodes to find out.
And then, of course, the end of the episode is Hale going to, what's his face?
I don't remember his name, but basically the alien spaceship.
Yeah.
She's like, you got to help me. And he's like, why are you here?
She's like, oh, the shield has your gravitonium.
Yeah, yeah. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, I was going to help you.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get here in time, but they've got it.
Yeah, because she's mad at all of S.H.I.E.L.D. for her daughter's death, not just the one person that killed her daughter.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe herself for putting her daughter in this position.
Yeah.
Yes. You were never proud of me, but I only wanted the best for you.
This is a revenge plan that doesn't make sense, because the whole thing, Hale's kind of like had a twisted thought of, like, we got to work together. We got to work together, S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, first, meanwhile, like, pointing at them, going, get them.
Yeah, first with Coulson and then later with Daisy.
Yep.
And then now Yo-Yo, a singular person, kills her daughter. So now all of S.H.I.E.L.D. needs to be destroyed.
Right.
Fuck them.
Naturally. You know, and probably the one person who had the most reason to kill her daughter, because, A, she was out of control, but also she cut my arms off for no reason.
Yeah, yeah. Cut off both my arms for no reason at all, yeah.
Yeah.
Good episode, though.
Yep.
Good episode. It was
lots
funny.
Lots of movement.
Earlier on in the episode, I'm messaging you. I'm like, I hate Ruby.
Yeah.
she needs to get her ass whooped. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to be like, just wait a few minutes.
And at the end of the episode, she gets her throat ripped open. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Four more episodes. It's going to be fun.
Yep.
You know, you always think, of course, when a new Marvel movie's coming up, Avengers opens this week. And essentially it opens before, technically, this week's episode of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
So you always have the, I wonder if they're going to link together somehow, or if they're just not going to.
Right.
Like, we know what happens in S.H.I.E.L.D. takes place in the Marvel Universe. Chronologically, we don't know where we're lining up right now.
Right. So, exactly.
We'll see. But if this is the final season of S.H.I.E.L.D., I mean, are you happy with that? Are you?
Yes. Because
yeah.
I think that the show has done a really good job. Like, I'll miss it, but I also think that it has had a great run.
Yep.
Considering where it was in the first season to where we've gotten to now,
yep.
I think it's only gotten better over the years. And if they said, yep, the ratings just aren't good enough, we're closing it down, absolutely fine with it.
Would you want to see these characters show up in the movies?
Yes. Yeah. They wouldn't have to have starring roles.
Yep.
You know, it could be, oh, we got some alien tech. Let's take it out of the tech division. And Fitz and Simmons are in there with their kid walking around, you know, their yep. daughter helping them out. And you're like, oh, I know them. And then we get right back to the movie, you know.
Do you see the potential for a S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff at all?
No. They already tried it with Hunter and Bobby.
That actually never that show never actually happened, though.
No, and they tried it twice. Because remember, they said they were going to do it, and they were like, no, we scrapped it. And then they're like, oh, we're writing them off the show, so we're definitely going to do it now.
Right.
And then they were like, no, we're really not going to do it.
But, like, if this season ends, like, without Hunter and Bobby, let's just say, you see the potential of a spinoff at all, where, like, just say, nah, because Fitz and Simmons would still work for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep. I think they all would.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what would you have, like, Mac in the suburbs trying to raise family?
No, that wouldn't be good.
No, it wouldn't be good at all. Some days I could barely stand him on the show.
Fair enough.
Not that he's a bad character, just sometimes he gets so, you know, oh, I'd do anything for my family, my daughter, and you're like, stop.
Your daughter's not around.
Yep. She ain't real.
Okay. Movies? Switching to movies?
Just one.
Yeah? What was it?
The Commuter.
Oh, we watched that together.
That Liam Neeson's film.
Liam Neeson's film?
Yeah.
Where Liam Neeson's...
Liam Neeson's!
Yeah, he's on a...
It's a Key and Peele gag.
He's on a train.
Yep. Not like last time when he was on a plane.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Can't remember the name of that one, but that's one with Julianne Moore. And
yes.
He was like an air marshal.
basically, he's a retired cop. Loses his job. That day.
Selling insurance.
He's selling insurance, yeah. He loses his job that day. You know, actually, I really like the beginning of the movie where they establish a period of time. Could have been a year or two, even. Of just him, of them showing, like, him and his wife in their daily life. And they're having a good, you know, like, getting up every morning, getting ready for work every morning, dealing with his kid, dealing with his wife. You know, they established a routine that he's on, and then taking the train in from Tarrytown, New York, to New York City every day, commuting, the commuter, to go to work, basically. So, essentially, on this day, he loses his job. The severance package isn't even money anymore. It's life insurance. Not life insurance. It's medical insurance for a few years, or whatever it is. And they established that he's 60 years old. And he's a retired police officer. And he gets on this train, and this woman approaches him and says, there's money on the, there's, you know, basically he's like, hey, there's $25,000 hidden in the bathroom. You have to find Prin and what this person, in this bag this person's carrying, because they have something that we want.
It's this person who doesn't belong on the train.
Doesn't belong on the train, yeah. And then we'll give you another $75,000. So, of course, he's too tempted. He goes and looks in the bathroom, and he finds the $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, now he has to try to find out who this person is. And they go to some extremes.
Yes.
Yeah, they go to some extremes on this. So, I'd say watch it. You know? It
was enjoyable.
It was enjoyable. You know, the train, I don't know how much I want to give away. No. And it hasn't been in theaters for a while, but it just came out on Redbox. I don't know. I'd say watch it, but, you know, don't break your neck.
It's a mystery, yeah. You know. There's different passengers on the train, and he's trying to figure out which one of them is Prin, why somebody wants this Prin person.
Yeah. Can he trust his friends?
Yep.
Stuff like that.
Yep.
Sort of interesting.
Yep.
And then the ending, though, the last 30 seconds, I just kind of went,
yeah.
They shouldn't have had that in there.
No, they should not.
I watched War for Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. I remember watching Planet of the Apes when I was a kid, the original run. And I watched that Mark Wahlberg fucking atrocity.
Mm-hmm.
That was terrible. And then starting with, was it Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and now War for Planet of the Apes. Starting with Rise, with James Franco, I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was kind of cool how they established, like, oh, it was a virus, and, you know, he couldn't talk straight away, and they just kind of showed the evolution of the characters, if you will. And then the same thing with Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Now we've established how all these other apes are affected. Now it's affecting the humans and why they're battling each other. And then War for the Planet of the Apes, it's a long movie. It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes or something. And the beginning of the movie is essentially like there's this faction of the army, and they want the apes dead. They're trying to find Caesar, who's holed up in the forest, you know. And there's apes that they call Donkey that work for the humans. And basically, in the last movie, there was a monkey uprising amongst themselves, or an ape uprising amongst themselves, and Caesar was victorious and shut down the other guy. So the people that was working for Kobo, they went off to go work for the humans as trackers, as, I guess, like,
Scouts,
trackers, pack mules, whatever they needed them to do. And essentially, they were turning on their own kind. But they either didn't have any options or choice because they knew that Caesar and company would kill them because they were traitors or whatever it was. It was kind of like, I guess, Indians helping the U.S. cavalry and their fight against Indians.
Gotcha.
Maybe that type of scenario. Anyhow, so the colonel, played by Woody Harrelson, I'm going to give a lot away.
Okay.
Kills Caesar's son and wife, thinking he's killing Caesar.
Oh, okay.
And then Caesar, of course, catches him, and then, well, sees it, and then the colonel and company get away. And now Caesar and a couple other people, he's going to go find the colonel to kill him, and they're going to send the rest of their monkeys off to this desert area that his son had scouted out before. And long and the short of it, of course, we find that all the monkeys, all the apes have been captured by the colonel.
That was easy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Caesar finds out when he's like, wait a second. Essentially, they end up going to this old... It wasn't a military base, but basically it was like when all the humans started getting the simian flu and were dying from it, they put them all in this like concentration camp, if you will, where they were held till they died. And now the colonel's there with all the apes, and he's making them work for him, building this wall. And this movie turned into The Great Escape.
Okay.
Are you familiar with The Great Escape?
I am.
Okay. For those of you who are not, it's literally like, what, a concentration camp escape movie?
Mm-hmm.
Or POW escape movie. Yes. It turned into a freaking escape movie, complete with corny, like, do-do-do-do, music as they're establishing their plan, trying to get, because you have all the kids monkeys housed in one area and all the adults housed in another area, and there's an underground tunnel that they've established that they're trying to connect it to. It turned into an escape movie, except The apes are the ones escaping. It's kind of weird.
Ape escape.
Yeah, it's really kind of like, I didn't expect that. I expected like a war movie. Really wasn't.
It was called War for the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the whole war aspect of it was the colonel basically has taken matters into his own hand. And he's like, all monkeys are bad, and there's this new disease that, like, the virus has transformed, and it's, like, de-evolutionizing humans.
Okay.
While monkeys are still getting smarter, so the colonel's big fear is that monkeys are going to be smarter than us, and they're going to be at the top of the food chain soon, not us. And that's how it works, so I'm going to kill all the monkeys. But the rest of the army doesn't agree with him, and it's basically they're trying to stop him. So he's at this place building this wall at this old bunker area to prepare for battle with the other humans. And the monkeys are now caught in the middle.
Wow.
It took a turn I wasn't expecting.
Doesn't sound like you enjoyed it that much.
I didn't like it as much as the other two films, no. But if they made, but there's talk of a fourth one coming out. I'll watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see if they're somehow connecting it to the 1960 Planet of the Apes, 68 Planet of the Apes movie.
Gotcha.
Because Caesar's son, the one that lived, who's an infant, is named Cornelius.
Oh, interesting.
And on Planet of the Apes, there was an ape called Cornelius.
Yep.
And he worked for Dr. Zaius.
Yep.
And his dad was Caesar. As Cornelius named his son Caesar after his dad. So I'm trying to figure out.
So they're really trying to bring it back.
I'm trying to see if they're really trying to connect the two. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
So.
Huh.
But anyhow, I also watched Around the World in 80 Days, the Jackie Chan flick from like 2004 with my kids.
Okay.
They loved it. And I forgot to talk about this last week, so I'm going to talk about it right now. I watched the Andre the Giant documentary on HBO.
Oh, yeah. I still haven't checked that out yet.
It is phenomenal.
Is it?
It is so good. Yeah, it really talks about, like, there's some footage of Andre from when he was, like, a teenager training to wrestle, where he's, like, tall and skinny that I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
And that's in this. So that was amazing. They talked to his family. They talked to Billy Crystal.
Nice.
And Carrie Elways or Ewells, or however you want to pronounce his last name, and everything from when he was on, you know,
Princess Bride.
I almost said Planet of something, Planet of the Bride, whatever. From the Princess Bride, Parenthood, as it was almost said. From Princess Bride and everything. And of course, they talked to Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and Timmy White, who worked with him in the WWE, was just like his handler in the WWE. And they really talk about his whole career, getting into wrestling, coming over from France to Canada first, then to the United States, and wrestling in Mexico, wrestling in Japan, and on and on and on. The whole big WrestleMania 3 match with Hulk Hogan, and just it was so good. Like, I got emotional a few times watching it.
Nice.
Yeah, it was excellent. I can't recommend it enough. Literally cannot recommend it enough. If you don't have HBO, but you have Hulu, right now there's a deal where you can get HBO for $5.99 for a month for 6 months or whatever it is. And I got to say, you should probably do it at least 1 month of this to watch this documentary. It's that good.
Nice.
Yeah. It's really
it's a hard good. Sell for Mike.
It is a big old hard sell. Any trailers or news?
They released the last Deadpool trailer this week.
Yeah.
Great trailer.
Nice. I didn't watch it.
Lots of inside jokes. Called him One-Eyed Willy at one point, which is great because, you know, the Goonies. At one point, Cable says something really bad, and he's like, "You're so dark. Are you sure you're not part of the DC universe?"
Nice.
Yeah. And he does make a Thanos joke at one point, so
I'm sure he does.
They're covering it all. The big news with this is that at the tail end of the trailer, basically Deadpool and Weasel have decided that they need to get a team together, so they're doing auditions.
Yeah.
And this one guy walks in, and he goes, "I'm Peter," and they're like, "What's your power?" He goes, "Oh, I didn't have a power, I just showed up." And they're like, "You're hired." And so, like, later you see him parachuting out of the plane with the rest of the X-Force.
Yeah.
And he's just Peter. So, like, they've taken it and run with it. They gave him his own movie poster. He has his own Twitter account that he's been doing for, like, a couple of months now where he's just like, you know, people shouldn't swear. It's really bad and stuff like that. He's just Peter, the guy with glasses and a dad bod. And, yeah.
That's funny. I like that.
So, I'm assuming Peter's going to die violently.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Like, his parachute won't open and he's just going to splat or something.
I would assume, yeah.
Yeah.
They've canceled Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of great things about this season. I personally haven't watched any because I don't have Stars.
Right.
And TVs can get it $15 a month. And I'm not going to spend $15 a month to watch for 10 weeks.
Right.
Which is like 2.5 months. So $45.
Yeah.
When I can just wait and buy the DVD set or get 1 month of Stars once all the episodes are out there. I do plan on watching it because I absolutely love.
Yeah, I figured we'd sit down and watch it together.
It's a half hour show. I mean.
Yeah.
We can find a 5 hour block where we can binge watch this together.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. But that's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
But Bruce Campbell seems okay with it.
Right.
You know?
He got three more seasons out of a property that hasn't been touched in decades.
And I've heard a lot of great things where season three, the way they're wrapping it up, it's like we're getting Evil Dead 4.
Oh, nice. That'd be good.
So who knows?
Right.
Like, no, like that's what it feels like.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
Not we're going to get another movie. But that's what it feels like to them.
Okay.
I personally, the Evil Dead, I'm going to call alternate universe one. I can't think of her name, but the one with the girl from Suburgatory.
Yep.
I wouldn't mind seeing a sequel with her.
I'm trying to remember her name now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I wouldn't mind.
I keep wanting to say Emma Stone, but it's not.
It's not, yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing a sequel with her in that universe.
Right.
Because I thought it was excellent. I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Yeah.
I watched a couple trailers.
Okay.
I've had this hankering to watch The Equalizer with Denzel Washington.
And now they get the second one coming out.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, I've been wanting to watch it. That's why I actually watched The Bone Collector the other day, because based on what I had for streaming services, I hadn't watched. They didn't have a lot of the Denzel movies on there I'd want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I watched The Bone Collector. And then I saw the trailer for The Equalizer 2 coming out in July. Jane Levy, yeah. Okay. Looks excellent.
Mm.
It looks really good.
Because the first one was really good.
Yeah. I saw this trailer for this movie. I don't know if it's low budget, and it might even be in a foreign language. I don't know. It's called Revenge.
Okay.
And it's about this girl, and she gets wronged by these guys, and she comes for them. Not like I Spit on Your Grave, where they rape her for 45 minutes first.
Right.
But she sees something she shouldn't, tries to run away, it looks really bloody and gory, and it's supposed to be a horror movie, but I think it's more of a gory gore movie, not really horror.
Gotcha.
I don't know. It looks good, though.
Cool.
I saw another trailer for a documentary that comes out called Three Identical Strangers. Did you see this?
No, I didn't know.
Okay. It's a true story, so it's a documentary, not a film. And at first, when I saw the quick graphic, I thought it was Andy Samberg playing three different people at once.
Okay.
Because it was just a really quick flash. But what it is, it's literally about this guy who shows up to college. And everyone keeps calling him Ed. And he's like, "I'm not Ed." Like, "Yeah, nice to see you, da, 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 da." And turns out, there's a guy there named Ed, and they are identical. Like, he's got my face, he's got my eyes, he's got my, like, on and on and on. And there's news on these two kids that even know that they're both adopted when they're younger. And they didn't even know that they had a twin brother. He didn't know they had a twin brother out there. And someone else comes forward and goes, "Hey, I think I'm your brother." Because they're actually triplets.
Oh, wow.
And it's a story of these. It's like,
so they are related.
They are legit triplets.
So like, it's not like I met your mother with a doppelganger. So.
No. Not doppelganger. Like legitimate identical triplets. Like, not like, "Hey, we're twins, but we look somewhat alike."
Right.
No, identical triplets, which is really hard. And they kind of go into the whole backstory. In the trailer, they allude that there's a very, like, kind of nefarious backstory of how these kids were born, why they were put up for adoption, why the adoption agents didn't reveal to the parents that, hey, they have a twin brother, and on and on and on. It looks really, really good. Hmm. Like, I was pretty much blown away by this. Like, it's interesting story where I'm sure you could Google it and read the whole story and everything.
Right.
But for me, I'm like, I'm going to wait for this documentary to come out. I want to check this out.
Thanks.
Yeah. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it was really, really good. And I watched one other trailer. And it was a movie called Dark Crimes.
Okay.
And it's a crime thriller. It takes place in another country, but it's in English. But, like, the police officer investigating it, you know, there's a fake accent involved, but it's not like it's not a comedy by any means. It looks like a really dark suspense thriller type movie. And the lead, the star is Jim Carrey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, when you think of Jim Carrey, you automatically think of comedy.
Right.
Even when he was in Kick-Ass 2, he was a comedic character.
Yeah.
The only movie I can think of off the top of my head which wasn't a pure comedy movie or wasn't for laughs was the number 21 or number 3 or whatever that movie was.
23.
Number 23. Okay, I was close.
I wouldn't consider The Truman Show comedic or for laughs.
There was some comedy elements in it, though.
There was, yeah.
This is new. he is a haggard, hard-boiled, or not hard-boiled, but that's because, you know, he's a haggard, you know, police investigator who's investigating a very violent series of crimes, and he has a suspect in this big cat and mouse thing, and it's a very suspenseful, thriller-looking thing. Mm. It looks really, really good, and Jim Carrey seems to really have gone Daniel Day-Lewis on this character.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Like, big time. Looks really, really good.
Nice.
Yeah. Hmm. That's it for me.
Wow. Jim Carrey, huh?
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I watched a few other trailers. I thought they were garbage. I'm not going to talk about them.
Good.
But that's it.
That's it for me.
Cool. All right. Well, hey, I guess, hey, thanks for listening. Well, we'll talk to y'all next week about more shows and stuff. But in the meantime, if you want to reach out to us or chat or talk to us or anything like that, you can find me on the Twitter machine. I'm at SuperstarML.
I'm at the Quantum Geek, G33K.
Show us at What Did You Watch, Facebook, What Did You Watch This Week, and thanks.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.